Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 13th, 2019, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writes, "Now I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the humility and gentleness of Christ. I, who am gentle when I am in your presence, but bold toward you when I am away. I pray that when I arrive there, I may not have to be bold with the confidence that I expect to use, enduring to confront some of those who think that we walk in the way the sinful flesh does. For even though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war in the same way the sinful flesh does. Certainly, the weapons of our warfare are not those of the flesh, but weapons made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We tear down thoughts, such as all arrogance that rises up against the knowledge of God, and we make every thought captive, so that it is obedient to Christ. And we are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is fully restored. You are looking at things only according to the outward appearance. If anyone has convinced himself that he belongs to Christ, let him consider this about himself. We belong to Christ just as much as he does. Indeed, even if I may boast some more about our authority, which the Lord has given for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be put to shame. My purpose is not to seem as if I am trying to frighten you by my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and strong, but his physical presence is weak, and his speech amounts to nothing. Let such a person consider this. What we are, by our word through letters when we are away, is just what we will be in our work when we are present. To be sure, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who speak highly of themselves. On the contrary, when they measure themselves only by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. But we will not boast about things that cannot be measured. Instead, we will boast according to the measure of the assignment that God, who measures things, measured out to us, to reach out also as far as to you. Indeed, we are not overdoing our boasting, as if we had not come to you. In fact, we were the first ones to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We are not boasting about things that cannot be measured, that is, in the hard work of others, but we are hoping that as your faith grows, our assignment will be greatly increased while we are among you, with the result that we will preach the gospel to the regions beyond you. Then we will not be boasting about what someone else has already done in his assignment. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. To be sure, it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but it is the one whom the Lord commends." This is the word of our God. After spending chapters 8 and 9 talking about the famine relief offering and that big project that Paul is collecting from among the churches, among the Gentile churches, for the support of the church back in Palestine, he turns back again, beginning in chapter 10, toward the false teachers who have shown up there in Corinth. They had made their beginning earlier, and it seems to have been some false teachers that showed up and took advantage of the division within the church. And now Paul addresses them head on, because a lot of the issues that he's going to be dealing with in this chapter and the next deals with the false ideas and the totally backwards and upside down ideas about how church is supposed to work. The basic charge is that these men, whoever they may be, are bringing in some sort of other teaching, where they reinterpret the words that Christians use, and they basically import the ideas of the world into the Christian church, and with the result that even though they have an appearance of goodness or godliness or persuasive speech, they are not giving glory to Christ. That's the whole point that Paul is making here in this chapter, and you probably wouldn't be the only one who had to go back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 just to say, what in the world is Paul saying here? It's one of those where he kind of talks, and there's more going on than perhaps we pick up on at first glance, and the big thing that we're talking about here is going to be highlighted beginning in verses really 7 through 10, or maybe 7 through 11, that paragraph, because he calls out the false ideas that these other men are accusing Paul of. They're trying to discredit Paul, and by discrediting Paul, they are discrediting Christ. And by saying that Paul is, you know, not very persuasive in person, they're really saying that about Christ. You know, Paul doesn't care about his own reputation. He addressed that already in 1 Corinthians, that those who would say, I follow Paul, are just as foolish as anybody else. His whole goal is to proclaim the reconciliation of Christ. And part of that goal of proclaiming the reconciliation that is found in Christ alone means that nobody else gets to interfere with the glory of Jesus, that he needs to address these false teachers, these men who are very persuasive in person, but whose words and motives and attitudes do not match up with Christian truth. So verses 7 and following, Paul writes, "You are looking at things only according to the outward appearance. If someone has convinced himself that he belongs to Christ, let him consider this about himself. We belong to Christ just as much as he does." And what Paul does throughout this entire chapter, if you read through it carefully, he makes reference to what somebody else might be saying or could be saying. And what he's really doing is taking some of the refrains and ideas and phrases that these other people have used, and he's using them and putting them in their proper Christian context, where somebody would come into the church and say, "Oh, I have a right to preach today. I have a right to say these things because I belong to Christ." Paul answers, "We belong to Christ just as much as he does." That there is no superiority and no sense of superiority within God's church. Even the called minister of the gospel is doing so as a minister with the authority that Christ has given to him for the glory of Jesus, for the purpose of building up the church and giving glory to Jesus. And so he, in verse 7, he highlights, you know, for instance, somebody says, "Oh, I belong to Christ." So what? You know, we belong to Christ just as much as he does. He goes on in verse 8, "Indeed, even if I may boast some more about my authority, which the Lord has given for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be put to shame." That there is a place for boasting. A boasting in what God has done and what God wants to accomplish through what God has instituted and set up. I mean, it is proper for a pastor to boast about serving in the public ministry, not as some human and worldly idea of wielding power over somebody else or holding influence over somebody else, but simply as the representative of the King, the representative of Jesus Christ, and that is a high calling. And Paul says, yeah, I could boast about that. The authority that the Lord has given for building you up. And sometimes building somebody up really means that you need to tear down the false ideas first. Verse 9, "My purpose is not to seem as if I'm trying to frighten you by my letters, for some say," verse 10, and again, here's that accusation again that he highlights, because he's heard from Timothy, he's heard from Titus, he's probably heard from Chloe and Chloe's household, or Priscilla and Aquila. These people have reached out to him and said, Paul, do you know what's going on here? We're being led astray and confused." And he really has oversight over that congregation still. And so he writes to them. Verse 10, "For some say his letters are weighty and strong, but his physical presence is weak. His speech amounts to nothing." You know, in writing, his writing is compelling, but have you ever seen the guy preach? Wow, talk about boring. Have you ever heard him talk? He seems like a very timid, private person. Maybe, you know, the classic introvert, or the idea of the introvert, that this is a person who keeps to himself. And he could be steamrolled with just so much bluster in a conversation. Tough to put words on that, exactly what that looks like, but I think we can all see it. Or somebody who is a little bit more timid, or comes across as maybe shy or slightly more reserved or quiet, that person may come up into a conversation or an argument and somebody who was a little bit louder or more boisterous may try to just get their way by talking more loudly, talking more quickly, and I think the old term is bamboozling the quieter person. And if you need an example of that, consider the last time you had to go to the used car lot to try and buy a car, and you've got your typical used car salesman who is going to sweep you along into the excitement of this new car that he's going to get you into, and what a great deal it is, and then he sits you down and talks you through that four-square diagram that he makes with all the math. That's what Paul is dealing with here, where he's been at this church, and during the time he's been gone, somebody else has come in and tried to gain authority within the church and gain some standing within the church by really character assassination. Oh, you know this Paul? Do you mean the Paul who writes so well, but when he shows up, he puts people to sleep? Did you hear about that guy who was at Epaphroditus? He put him to sleep and Epaphroditus fell out the window during the sermon. Paul says, I'm going to boast about Jesus. And if anybody would have any accusation, like in verse 10, those people who say his letters are weighty and strong, his physical presence is weak, his speech is boring. Let such a person consider this. Verse 11. What we are by our word through letters when we are away is just what we will be in our work when we are present. And this kind of touches on a broader issue that applies obviously to pastors, but also to Christians. The idea that pastor has to be a people person if he's going to be a good pastor. And that's not the case. What a pastor has to understand is the call that he's been called to do. And he has to be faithful in the administration of that call. He has to do the things of visiting people, of following up with people, of sharing the word of God clearly and in a way that hopefully communicates well. But there's a place in God's church for every single person who is devoted to the work of the Lord. And the same thing applies to the people of our congregation, that no matter who you are, no matter what your experience has been, no matter your age, no matter what your career was or will be or is, even if you're a full-time student right now, no matter who you are, there is a place for you in God's church at this place, at this congregation. There is a place for you where you can make a contribution to the work of the Lord, where you can work together with your fellow believers, and maybe it is something more public, such as serving on a board or a committee or something like that. Maybe it's something more private, like helping with snacks at VBS or helping with a craft or working with the children in Sunday school, something like that. But what Paul says here applies to you and me both, that we boast in the Lord, and that our boasting takes on this form of service to the Lord. No matter who we are, no matter whether we come across as timid and quiet, or louder and boisterous, extrovert or introvert, whatever it may be, Jesus says you have a place because you've been given this gospel of the Lord, and you've been given this congregation in which to serve, and with whom you worship. And so as you go about your day, just take a moment to consider where your own skills and interests might be put to use in bringing the gospel of Jesus to somebody else. Maybe it's in one of those more background type roles, like preparing a lesson, assisting children with a craft or memory work or something like that. Maybe it's something a little bit more forward, such as serving on a committee and being involved in organizing a small group. But whatever it is, let's find a way that we can boast in the Lord together by participating in his ministry together. You can find us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., 2250 South Holland Savannah Road, Maumee. And if you happen to miss it, tune in at YouTube. All of our services are archived there. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.